No, I don't have many red flags.
When she loses her wallet?
Fuck! Wow!
Should I do the We Are Back? You, Dom. Anyway, we are back. What's up, everybody? Welcome to AirPods and Airballs, the podcast where we do have to take half-baked takes on basketball, uninforming opinions on pop culture, and sometimes talk about nothing. As always, I'm Joe Crawley, here every week, holding it down in my Warriors polo. Today, you know, we got Dominic Harnia. Woo. Dom, tell me your favorite non-social media iPhone app.
It'd probably be Robinhood.
Ooh, okay.
I like to check it and get depressed looking at the markets.
Chasing that paper. Yeah, anyway, watching that Netflix stock drop. And special guest, my former roommate, Kenneth Wayne Ward. Kenny, how you doing?
Oh, but the full government out there. You forgot the junior, though. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. What up, boys?
Kenny, tell me what's your favorite type of cookie?
Oh, oatmeal chocolate chip. Once you take out the raisins, it just gets to a whole new level.
It's the best of both worlds, right? You get the texture, you get the sweetness. What is there not to like about oatmeal chocolate chip?
Yeah, I don't understand why oatmeal raisin exists. It should just be oatmeal chocolate chip.
I used to have this debate at work. What's a better cookie, oatmeal raisin or snickerdoodle? Because like oatmeal chocolate chip, right? You take the fun parts of texture with like chocolate, right? But what's better, an oatmeal raisin cookie or a snickerdoodle cookie?
Probably snickerdoodle. It's just, I can't get over the raisin. Can't do it.
I'm a raisin person.
Oh, like already texture. With a hot take. red flag right there.
Polynesian, oatmeal raisin. Give it all.
I still don't agree with this Polynesian bullshit, but like, I'm team oatmeal raisin with you.
Megan, it's not too late. You can back out. Yeah. You can back out right now.
But I got a fun Me and Kenny story. So this, and slightly related to basketball, Kenny and I go to Vegas in like 2014, right? We get our first taste of bottle service, right? Ever. We're like broke 22-year-olds. We're soaked, right? We're stoked. Oh, we're just sitting on the couch. You can pay security guards to do stuff for you. It's awesome. And then we make this bet, right? Like Kenny's a Bulls fan at that time. You know, his allegiance changes often. Right?
Me. It does. Yeah.
Warriors fan to my core. We make a bet. The whoever wins the championship first, the Warriors or the Bulls, has to buy bottle service for the other person. Fast forward to 2015, 1 year later. Greatest Warrior season ever.
Crazy.
And I'm still waiting to cash in.
Damn. Yeah.
It's coming. I'm just waiting for the Bulls to win championships. So
I haven't forgot, Kenny. I'm never gonna let you live that down. So
it's gonna come. But dang, that was heartbreaking. I was like, are you serious? So short end of the story is I'm the reason for the first Warriors championship.
Really? Well, Kenny, I like to say it was me moving up to the Bay Area too. So that all happened.
Probably two factors colliding.
All I know is we got three members of Dub Nation here today. It's awesome.
Anyway. Who's the third? I'm confused.
Well, Brad's in Hawaii, so I'm sure Brad would appreciate this. But anyway, Dom, what are we talking about today?
We're going to do another check-in on the first round. I think things getting a little interesting in some series. Do a recap of that. Maybe look ahead to some second-round matchups that we know. And then we're going to get into some fun, just fun random banter. I don't know what that is. Do you want to? We'll get there.
We'll get there. Casual red flags. I think this is a crowd pleaser. Okay. So it's either that or it's going to flop. But it'll probably be 25 minutes in the pod. And how many people really listen that far in anyway? So,
we're doing numbers today, boys. Call us numbers. And yeah, I don't know who's putting up numbers right now. Jokic, MVP.
I was about to say, you are – you can look how we can tell you how this pod performs against the pod that Annie was on, right? right?
So me versus Annie. Let's do
we're going to put you against all our guests. Annie, Vito, Jeff, John, JoJo.
Is Brad a guest at this point? Just kidding.
Brad is Kyrie. He can only play half the season.
Love you, Brad.
Before we get started, we got big shout out to everybody that voted on our poll on Twitter. You know, lots of surprising results, I'd say, but also I think the fact that Dom's team finished first isn't surprising, but the fact that my team didn't finish last is awesome. Yeah. We're out here winning. This is like, we are like the Timberwolves taking Memphis to six games.
Yeah, I definitely would have guessed Brad first, me second, and you third. But
hey, we're out here. Me, Ant-Man, Loki, and
we gotta think of a tiebreaker.
Yes.
Because the votes came out 25% each for you guys.
But anyway, we have a Slack channel now, so if anyone wants to talk during the week, interact, build a community. Is that a thing we're trying to do? But but please join. We'll be posting stuff about there. Maybe Dom will share his weekly or his daily NBA picks. You know, you can lose with us. But
what do you call your community? Is it like Airbenders or something? What's going on there?
The you know when you lose one AirPod, right? And you don't know what to do with it. You either have to pay. Maybe it's the AirPods or the lone AirPods.
The lone AirPods.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll think of it.
Yeah. The junk drawer, just full of your extra chargers. Anyway, let's talk some basketball. The Nuggets just took the lead, but besides that, Kenny, give me your thoughts on the first round. Anything really stand out to you?
I think the thing that's crazy to me that I kind of saw. All right, and I should have bet on it. I was like, this Toronto series, Toronto Philly, I felt like Philly was gonna choke somehow, some way, either in a sweep or some epic comeback. And sure enough, it's looking like it's gonna be an epic comeback. Maybe the first team ever to lose a 3-0 lead. That's probably the biggest thing to me so far that hasn't fully occurred yet.
So yeah. You think Toronto fully comes back, pulls it off?
So there's a lot of factors here. Joel Embiid is not 100%. The history of a certain player, James Harden, the history of a certain coach, Doc Rivers. Game six being in Toronto, I feel like that's an automatic win. And then once you get to game seven, I think the Sixers just choke. They just choke. I don't see it. And Toronto just one of those teams. I feel like they have a lot of gust or bravado, kind of like Memphis. I'll put Memphis in the same category. I think they think they can do it. And that's probably the biggest thing. And then I think the 76ers think the Raptors can do it. So it may end up being pulled off.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a possibility at this point. Game seven is definitely happening in Philly. I think Raptors at this point in the series match up really well, just because they have, I think they have like all these guys above like 6'9" that they're throwing at Embiid. You know, they're just being super physical with him, and I don't know what the hell Harden's been doing this whole series. He's just been taking it off. Thibault's been really bad. Danny Green's been airballing, classic. And then I think Toronto didn't even have Fred VanVleet the last game, and they still pulled it off. So,
jeez.
And yeah, I think it's a huge possibility at this point.
Yeah, Philly's like really dependent, probably way more dependent on Maxey than they'd probably like to be, right? The fact that James Harden's lines are, you know, like his over-unders are like 20, 21 points for being like, you know, the triple double machine MVP like 2-3 years ago is not what they expected out of that trade. Toronto has like big Wichita State energy, like mid-major coming into the tournament to like pull a bunch of upsets. And I think like in the beginning of the series, it was like, you know, Philadelphia was playing a bit like Kansas, right? Like just blue blood basketball, like just being dominant. Embiid was just taking over, but I don't know. There's a glimmer. There's a glimmer. I think Philly pulls it out. I just think that winning two more games back to back is really tough.
I think they pull it out in six or seven.
I think they pull it out in seven.
Oh, you're telling me there's a chance, Bill.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, like, I think, like, taking a step back is just, this has been a really fun NBA playoff so far, right? Like, it hasn't been the closest playoffs ever. A lot of five game series, right? But even that Boston Brooklyn series was a ton of fun. Yeah. That was a sweep.
Yeah,
yeah.
All the games were close, or like they came down to the, you know, last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Going back to Philly, Toronto, like, who's even, like, on Philly side, who's even the leader on that team? Like, who's the person that they, like, look to, right, to kind of be that emotional leader? Like, it's not Embiid, it's not Harden, definitely maybe not Doc, you know?
No,
like,
so
they're just, like, there's no one that's really, that you can speak to that's just going to right the ship for them. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see. We'll see how it plays out.
It's crazy how fast, how downhill that Ben Simmons trade went, right? Like when they first make the trade, you think, oh, wow, that's probably the best case scenario for this whole Ben Simmons situation. But now.
But even with that, I mean, you see how the Ben Simmons trade is working from the opposite side for the Nets.
Yeah.
Really could have used someone like Ben Simmons. And they can't even get him on the court. They can't even get him on the bench for game four. Like, the struggle's real out here. So I still think at the end of the day, but it's looking like Philly won that trade. But the Nets aren't, yeah, they needed him. And he disappeared in their time of need, like the last airbender. So. Dad, you like
that? Like that.
There you go. Wait, not nearly enough Avatar references on the pod, but yeah, I guess, like, what else has been super interesting? I mean, like, Warriors, right? Obviously, I'd say, like, it's a big surprise how well they're playing. You know, probably a week and a half ago, you'd say, like, the Suns were the clear favorite to come out the West. Now, I don't think it's as obvious, even if Devin Booker does come back healthy. But the Warriors got their 3G, PTSD, whatever you want to call that lineup. That looks super hot. Jordan Poole's probably, like, the third best player in the NBA playoffs right now. Like, what more could you want?
But I think I don't know, the Sun. It's so, like Joe said, I hop around for NBA teams. My most recent hop on has been the Suns because I live here. And it's just, it's just electric because for a lot of reasons. It's because I work downtown. I used to live downtown. And this city, like, really loves their Suns. It wasn't like that in L.A. And so I just want to see them do well. And it's disheartening to see Devin Booker go down because I think that's probably the one player we can afford to lose. Because if Chris Paul goes down – Devin Booker just steps up with his assist. Campaign steps up with his erratic play. DeAndre Ayton doing pretty well, but I don't think we necessarily need him specifically in this series. But I still think the Suns win. Devin Booker's coming back.
That's a pretty wild take. Devin Booker's one of your most expendable players. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Wait. We can't lose him. We can't lose him. We can lose him.
I would say couldn't lose Chris Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
More than Devin Booker.
We've seen it. We lost Chris Paul last year. We lost Chris Paul during the season. We lost some part of the playoffs last year and still pulled it off.
Yeah, but you've seen Devin Booker without Chris Paul his whole career. And he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. Devin Booker without Chris Paul got DeAndre Ayton with the number one pick. So.
And I think Chris Paul being a part of the team has some sort of long-lasting influence, like a Chris Paul hangover, where they just know how to operate. And there's a lot does a lot for them having him on their team, even without having him on the court necessarily. He's still a big piece. He may be number two, but I would rather lose Chris Paul for a first round series than I would Devin Booker.
I think you can talk to the Clippers and the Rockets about the Chris Paul hangover. Maybe it's not that long lasting, but no. I mean, he definitely does something on the court. He's almost like the point guard version of a Draymond Green, right? Like like a big part of his contributions aren't through points and scoring, even though he averages like 20 points, 15 assists, whatever a game. But I think with Devin Booker out, like the series is so much like some holes, right? Like I think the fact that the series is as close as it is, right? New Orleans looks good, but I mean, it's New Orleans, right? Like outside of Brandon Ingram, if Mikal Bridges wasn't locking up CJ McCollum, like who knows how that game would have went last night. Alvarado is probably looking like a Matt Dellavedova in like 2017, right? I'm excited. I think it makes the West more exciting. Like Suns probably go past and end up playing who's the four? Dallas probably.
Dallas. Right? Yeah.
And that's probably a walk through the park. Warriors probably have some trouble with Memphis and who knows what happens there. But
you're saying Suns walk through Dallas in the park?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a walk in the park.
Well, I mean, like, do you think like the Jalen Brunson magic starts the comp?
Luka magic.
They have Luka back. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Dallas just like they just have a superior offense that I'd like to see how the Suns handle that with Ayton. You know, now that they've exposed, Mavs have exposed Gobert. You know, playing like a big center and just like spread them out and see how the Suns kind of play that in the second round, assuming the Mavs and Suns advance, but. I don't know. They've been really good on defense too, but you know the Jazz are pretty dysfunctional at this point.
Yeah, I was gonna say
hasn't the Jazz been dysfunctional, and hasn't NBA players told us about the Jazz every time the All-Star draft, every time it comes to the playoffs, they talk down upon the Jazz, and year after year the Jazz somehow just. Fumble out the first round. Rudy Gobert gets exposed in the playoffs. So I think this is habitual of the Jazz.
I guess Dom, are you excited to have Donovan Mitchell on the Lakers next year?
I mean, I wouldn't mind it if we're trading, you know, our current point guard.
I assume that's how it works, right?
Like, not a huge upgrade at this point.
No, right? But I mean, what could you realistically trade Russell Westbrook for?
A mellow ball.
No.
I don't know. I feel like there's deals out there. I feel like things are happening behind the scenes as we speak regarding Westbrook. Apparently, he deleted all of his Lakers stuff on socials. That's a good sign.
Conspiracy theory. Ben Simmons is ready to go. Rich Paul advised him to sit out.
Feign back injuries. So this summer they can trade some package of Westbrook for Ben Simmons and link his biggest client with Ben Simmons. Conspiracy. Maybe it'll happen, maybe not, but.
I don't know.
I don't know because the media pressure, Ben Simmons, you know, definitely handled that very well this season. So why not go to LA where it's going to be much bigger?
It's going to be worse. Yeah, I know, but that's why it's a conspiracy. Not likely to happen. Not a lot of proof.
Maybe him and Kendall can get back together. I will say, like, back on the Suns, Denise and I watched Devin Booker's Architectural Digest, the tour of his like Phoenix home. He's very plain. There's not a lot to him. I think there's some like basketball players in the media who are just like organically good at being people, like personalities outside basketball. Like Shaq obviously is, like, you know, Shaq, Michael Strahan, those guys are like just born for it. You know, LeBron does a good job. Steph Curry does all right, but enough where he's comfortable. Or like Zion does okay, but like, Devin Booker's personality seems very forced. His Architectural Digest, which is the house of stuff he definitely didn't pick out, right?
Yeah. Kendall picked it. It's very, you're right. He's very like has a personality like cardboard from what I've seen. It's just nothing great to him. He seems like he's just about basketball. That's it. And then just very dry across the board.
He's all about working, especially after wins.
When is work? When is work? Right. yeah, you know, those squats might have saved his hamstring. So.
Oh my.
Anyway.
What else haven't we talked about in the first? Can we go to Memphis and Minnesota?
Minnesota,
a team with no heart. I don't get how you can blow so many leads in a series.
Yeah, they've blown. They blew game three, right, with 2 25 point leads at multiple times, right?
They blew game five.
Game last five,
night. Yeah,
up 13 with maybe 7 minutes left. 8 minutes left.
I mean, you and I had Memphis in our parlay and had no idea how that hit, but wow. what that's been a fun series, I'll tell you that. I think it's funny, it gives me confidence and scares me all at the same time about Memphis, like as the team that might potentially play them next round, right? Because like, I mean, there's like some similarities between how Minnesota plays and how the Warriors play. Probably we don't have a big guy like Minnesota does, but we probably have like the guard play on steroids of what Minnesota does basically, and they can get up and get hot and, you know, get out fast. But Memphis just doesn't care, right? And they just come back and they keep working. You can punch them in the mouth and they come back. There's not much to say. They're resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're too young to know better. So a 25-point lead, 20-point lead. I don't think they know that they're not supposed to be this good, and they play like it. And I think the same is true of Memphis, except it's having the opposite result. And you said this about the – I forgot what team. But, the Sixers, like, they don't have a leader on their team. I would argue it's Pat Bev, but you can't have Pat Bev the leader of your team. I think that's a lot of reason why they're blowing these leads. Anthony Edwards last night. He made a dumb play. He scored the three or the deep two on the opposite end. And then he went for a steal on Ja Morant for the game-winning layup. You can't do that.
You can't overplay that pass.
Yeah, you got to stay in front of him and let him take it. It's Ja Morant. Like, it's not a great jump shooter. So you got to let him take that shot on perimeter. So that's just a microcosm for their inexperience and not being disciplined in the moment.
Yeah, like I'd say like Anthony Edwards, like he's shown flashes of being something like really spectacular. He's probably where like Ja Morant was last year, right? Like this is like a new moment. It's probably a little too big for him right now. And like Ja looks awesome, right? Even when he's playing bad, not shooting well, he's still making stuff happen. He's still driving stuff to him. I also think it's just it's really tough because Cat is your best player, but he is so unaware situationally, right? The fact that he keeps getting in foul trouble over all these stupid fouls, right? Like, just can't keep his hands up. Right? Just always has to swipe. Always is like fighting for offensive rebounds to get his fifth foul. Such a dumb good player.
Yeah.
I am enjoying all the Cat slander. I cannot stand. Cannot stand Karl Anthony Towns. He's such a freaking front runner. All the the audio quote that he had, and then them blowing it, and then him shushing the crowd last night, and then coming back, and then him lowering his voice in that post game interview.
That was weird.
Oh my gosh, this guy is just like, he, I don't know, just something about him. Cannot stand.
Yeah. That's so funny. That was that late night call voice. Like, what's up, baby?
had to get it done.
Well, I guess, like, if you had to pick right now, who do you think's coming out the West and who do you think's coming out the East?
Celtics out the East. And I think I'm gonna roll with I think I'm gonna go with the Warriors for the West. I think they have the Celtics out the East because I think they're the hottest team coming into the playoffs. I think you have a great offensive punch and Jason Tatum, your superstar. Jalen, what's his name? Jalen, wait, why am I forgetting his name? Jalen Brown, number two. You got the great, they all play great perimeter D. They got Williams back on the inside. So I think this, they're going to have to fight to get to the finals, but I think that's a complete team who's already went through their young struggles. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals before, so I think they can make it. And then the Warriors, I just think they're one of the complete teams in the – not a complete because they don't have a big man, but they've done it before. You have the firepower to do it, and I'm just looking at the competition. It's going to be the Suns maybe, but with Devin Booker hurt, that's a big question mark. And then, all the other teams I just feel can't keep up. So Celtics, Warriors, final. That's my bet.
You want me to go?
I have the same answer. So if you have something different, yeah, go for it.
I'm going to go with the Bucks out of the East just because they have probably the best player right now in the field. And they're, you know, obviously they were there last year, brought most of the same team back, and, you know, they've been there. We'll see how Middleton out for the rest of the playoffs, or is it?
I think he's going to try to make a return, but.
So I guess that is kind of a big factor, actually. So he has to be back for them to have a chance against the Celtics. I think that's who they play, right, next round.
Yeah.
They're a pretty complete team like the Celtics, but I think I'm just giving them the Giannis edge because no one's stopping Giannis, right? And I don't see anyone stopping Tatum either at this point, but we'll see. It's going to be a good one. And then I think they probably beat the Heat in the conference finals. The Heat, I mean, Heat are deep team too, but I don't know. Giannis, I'm picking Giannis over like the team of B and B plus players. In the West, I want to say the Mavs. I'm going to say the Mavs. I can't say Warriors because I hate the Warriors, but I'm taking Luka. Luka magic all the way.
Luka. Oh, even over the Suns?
Yeah, over the Suns. This is Luka's time. This is going to be that first run, you know, like every star has that like kind of first magical run to the
finals. Luka is this year's like Joe Burrow?
Maybe. That's a good one. I think he's better. I mean, he's way better than Joe Burrow in football, but yeah, it could be, you know.
But. I definitely the Warriors. I just think that I think the thing that scares me about the next round is like Memphis gave the Warriors a lot of problems, has given the Warriors problems historically. Like they give us a lot of problems during the season. They beat us in the play-in last year. They match up fairly well against us. So it's gonna be like a 6-7 game series. Like it's not gonna be a walk in the park. And then how beat up we come out of that is really gonna depend how we do against like Phoenix, who I think we split the season series with as well. Like Warriors weren't playing at full strength all year, but I think if the Warriors are clicking like they have been the past week, 2 weeks or so, I think it's gonna be really tough to stop them. And yeah, I have to agree with all the Boston stuff. I think we didn't talk about that series much because it was a sweep and it's pretty straightforward, but like that Boston team defense is like pretty exceptional. Like the way, like the end of game one, the way they stopped like Kyrie on that last possession, the way they locked up KD mostly. I think the good point is like, you know, Giannis is a different player than KD, right? Like KD drives to the basket, but not the way like Giannis does, right? Giannis is like, if you put KD in like Aaron Gordon's body, basically, right? like the way Aaron Gordon's been driving like earlier today. And I wonder how like the rotations and stuff can just cover pure physical strength at this point. But no, Boston's probably like the most complete team. And I think Jason Tatum was really taking a step. Like if there was a most improved player award for like the playoffs from like last playoffs, this like the playoffs, it probably goes to Jason Tatum. Like, cause I think he's really like this series basically moved him up in that next tier echelon of like, you know, NBA stars. I think you have to put him in like the conversation with like, you know, the KDs and LeBrons and the Giannis's and the Jordan Pools, you know,
the Jordan.
Was not in my head and I was like, hold on.
Yeah. He thought he was going to sneak that in there. Yeah.
The pool party, baby. But no, it's all good. If the Warriors win the NBA championship, we'll start mailing out some AirPods and Airballs floaties to everybody that likes a tweet that we send out after this. But
yeah, everyone that joins us the Slack community or Discord.
Yeah, let's y'all want to talk some casual red flags?
Let's do it.
So you know, got some good banter here, right? Thought it'd be fun to talk about casual red flags. So basically, or casual deal breakers. So basically, you know, someone at work brought this up and I thought it'd be a really good thing to talk about the pod. So basically, what are some of your casual red flags? And by definition, a casual red flag is basically something that, you know, if you were dating somebody would be like a turnoff or a deal breaker for you, but like most people would likely overlook, right? So examples are like, if someone was like a Disney adult, I think I saw Kenny like live, laugh, love in your Instagram bio, things like that. So like stuff that's like, you know, probably says something about a person, but you know, not necessarily like stuff that wouldn't be casual flags are like your different religions. You both don't want kids, or, you know, you have different views on kids, like very major, but like the stuff they not anything they try to solve on the ultimatum, right? So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that show.
So anyway.
If he tries to bring an ultimatum, that's a major red flag. Yes. Right,
exactly. But I can go first. So I think one of my casual red flags, or my you know, casual deal breakers, is if they have less than 4 pillows on their bed. I am a big, like, put as many pillows on the bed as possible. I want to be comfy when I go to bed. I want to, you know, if you shift around in the middle of the night, like your pillows fall off the bed on the floor. I don't have to go fish one out, right? You know, the position I sleep in changes from a nightly basis. So I want to be ready for all scenarios. And I think if you don't have at least 4 pillows on your bed, like, you don't value comfort in your life. If you don't value any comfort in your life, then I don't value a relationship with you.
You're going to disqualify a woman based on her frequency to Bed Bath & Beyond. You're going to just, nope, can't do it. You only have 2 pillows.
Well, Target has affordable pillows. It doesn't have to be Bed Bath & Beyond, right? Like, and, you know, like, when, like, all 4 of my pillows aren't the same 4 pillows, right? Like, I have 2 medium firm and 2 extra firm, right? You know, they serve different purposes. So, I don't care about the quality of your pillows, the quality of your sheets. You know, those are all fine, but you gotta have some pillows. Gotta have some extra pillows.
You wouldn't have been dating me in college then, because I was rocking with 1 pillow.
I mean, on the XL twin, it's different, right? Like, I had 2 pillows, but I was an animal, like you, Dom. But Dom, you had the long hair. There were a lot of stuff going on with you.
Yeah, I was, you know, just a broke college hippie student, you know. But yeah, Megan changed that real quick with the pillow situation. Yeah, that's funny. Kenny, you go next. I'm still trying to think of one.
I guess mine is less casual than it is serious. Let's be serious here. You guys have been out the dating market for a while, so It's good to hear from the married men, but no, I think mine is if they have in their like Tinder bio or in dating them, they're like, oh, I'm only interested in something serious, and then I'm like, this is a red flag for me because I feel like I just came in their life at the right time, and they'll settle for anyone who's a halfway decent person. So I think that's a big red flag. But I don't know. It's just an indicator of and ready to settle down with anyone, and I'm just a placeholder. Kind of, and I think a lot of this spurred from watching Ultimatum. It's just, you have these 23-year-olds who are like, I want to marry you right now. I'm like, well, do you want to get married, or do you just want to get married to me, or be with someone, or be with me? So I think that's a major red flag for me.
No, that's a good one. I mean, like, I think, right, like it's almost like those people that go on Love is Blind, right? Like, or like Married at First Sight. It's just like, I want to be married, I don't care who, right? And that's probably not the, you know, they're probably going into like a relationship more in love with the idea and concept of being with a partner, as opposed to spent like having this deeper commitment with somebody, right?
Exactly.
So I hear you. Next time you're at a, I'll make sure to tell everybody at my wedding that you are only looking for something serious. So
for sure. They will be deeply disappointed. They will come to you for a refund, Joe. Like, that wasn't the man I was promised.
Wasn't there, I forgot what movie, was it like Wedding Crashers, where they have like the binder of all the people going to the wedding? I'll make sure in my Wedding Crashers binder for whoever is, you know, looking for a partner, like people who did date at my wedding, under your profile it says, only want something serious, right?
Oh, I didn't want you guys to send me a wedding invite list. I will do my scouting. I will do my research. I'll be ready to go.
So I think one for me, not that this has like happened in any of my relationships before, but I think if you're the person you're dating doesn't like get along with your friends, that's like a big red flag, right? Because obviously, like, they're gonna, you know, if the relationship progresses, they're gonna have to, you know, get to know each other, and they're gonna be around each other a lot. And so, yeah, that's, and luckily, you know, Megan is very good friends with my friends, and vice versa. So, yeah.
I think that's a huge one.
I don't know if that's casual, but hey, I mean, I have it, like, I don't date.
I was like, so as long as your partner doesn't talk to people the way Colby talked to Madeline in front of her friends at the ultimatum, right? But no, I mean, I think that's completely fair, right? You know, this person's going to become a big part of your life. They should get along with everybody. Megan, huge hit at the bachelorette party. So,
yeah. Well, to Don's point, I think that is a red flag that people often accept, because you see a lot of times people get in relationships and then you don't hear from them, or they don't get along with your friends. So it's like they have a whole entirely different separate life distinct from you. And it sucks because you want that person to be a part of your life in all facets. And of course, that's going to include your friends. So if they don't get along with your friends at the get-go, then you're running the risk of being separate and distinct from your friends if you get in a relationship from that person. No one wants that.
Yeah. And then if something goes awry on that relationship, then you got to like go back to your friends. And it's just like this whole process of reintegrating, and you know, like, no one wants that.
Yeah, and their friends are gonna feel some sort of way. It's like, you left us for this temporary person. We were there for you through the thick and thin, but yeah, it's tough out here. I don't know if I can ask this. Did your fiancés have red flags that you thought were red flags, or things that you're willing to accept?
It was funny because like Megan's listening, so like Megan will hear it now.
Megan's listening to every episode.
Like if I say now, Denise won't find out until like she's driving to work tomorrow morning. But I don't know.
But I gotta know. You know, the people want to know.
I would say that like looking at Denise's exes, I am so much cooler than them. Like I am like objectively awesome, like funnier, better looking, taller.
Damn. Yeah. Talk your shit. Hacker shit.
Yeah. But I was just like, I had to be like, wait, like, am I in the same category as these guys? She doesn't talk to any of them, and I doubt any of them listen to this, but like, but that's a joke. I don't think there's anything. I mean, you know, relationships, right? Like, if you get in a relationship where you're too similar to someone or it's too easy, right? You end up like Ray and Jake on the ultimatum, right? Like, not really trying. You don't really challenge yourself. You don't really change as a person. So even though, you know, we don't see everything eye to eye, right? It's, we help each other grow.
That's beautiful.
Love it. Love it. Love that answer for when Denise listens to my
Yeah, exactly. Denise, have a good day at work.
Oh, yeah.
I might abstain.
Plead the fifth.
I might plead the fifth on that.
I got another casual red flag.
What is it?
I don't think I could ever date a Dodger fan. I just think there's something about being a Dodger fanhood in general. Like, one, like, diehard. Like, they love their Dodgers, like, passionate to a T. But I think there's just a sense of entitlement that comes with being a Dodger fan, right? Like, one, like, Dodger Stadium isn't great. Like, it's an old stadium. It's a piece of crap. It needs to be renovated. It's not, like, there's history and that's all it's got, right? It's run down. It's made of concrete. It's not beautiful.
It's a vibe.
It takes 2 hours to drive to get to it, right? And it takes forever to leave the parking lot. Dodger Dogs, not that good, all right? Overrated. I don't care if they're $6-7, whatever. It's a $6-7 piece of garbage. And finally, it's just like the entitlement, right? It's like, oh, we're the Dodgers, we're competitive every year. Yeah, you're competitive every year because you spend so much fucking money on your baseball team and, you know, just cycle out the best players, right? Like, okay, Yankees West. So I just
think it's I love that.
Wow. I'm like, full disclosure, I'm not even like a full-on Dodger fan, but since I've moved to the Bay Area, I've learned to root for them just because I like pissing off the fans here. But I gotta defend Dodgers. I gotta defend the Dodgers here. Dodger Stadium, it's the best, like, best home crowd in baseball, I think. It's like super like lively compared to, you know, like Angel Stadium is boring as hell with like the OC fans, but Dodger fans are excited. They are not Yankees West. Their talent is homegrown. You know, they have a huge farm system. Like, all majority of their current players right now are, you know, I'm pretty sure they're homegrown from the system, and they have like they sprinkle in some signings here and there, you know, but that's who I want the Lakers to be like.
To be,
you know, just
it's so lively and loud because every time you walk on the bleachers it starts to squeak.
Oh my god, if you're an Android user, that's probably like the biggest red flag. It's like I can't be with you. One, it's gonna be an inconvenience to communicate with you. I don't wanna like your message and then get a message that Kenny liked your message. Yes. What? Like, no, we're not doing that. Two, I feel at this point, at 2022 in April. If you have an Android, you're just a contrarian. I feel like that's going to carry over to other aspects of your life. You don't want to go with the flow. You just want to stand out. You're the type of people that says, if everyone likes a Drake album, you say Drake isn't that good. Like, come on. Like, there's a gray area here. You can say Drake is good, but you may not be the biggest fan. Yeah. Android users, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
I mean, Kenny, you were an Android user until like what, 2017, 2018? But
Yeah.
I was like wait, our group chat used to be Green Bubbles until about 3 years ago because of you. So
true, but I wasn't staunch in my stance. It was also 2017. I was also in college. So, but now that I've grown and elevated myself as a person, able to afford an iPhone, I switched over. You know,
you get the iPhone, you get the extra pillows on your bed, it all comes together. Right?
You get the AirPods, you're living your best life.
Yeah.
But no, I 100% agree. Like, I so many more group chats I'm in now are becoming less and less green, which is awesome. Me and Dom, when we played on a rec league basketball team, we left one guy out the group chat and Dom would just text him on the side because he had an Android.
We have 8 people that work in my office. 2 of them have green text messages. And I joke with my boss all the time, I'm like, you need to let them go. We need to hire some iPhone users. Or we need to pay for their iPhone plan. This isn't working.
But that's a good one. Android. The phones are objectively better, but like, I know it's all like Apple's doing a really good job of like marketing and creating like relation-based experiences that make you feel certain ways that are hard to like express and really like quantify, but it works. They do a good job. They have a lot of really smart people and, you know, I'm so bought into this ecosystem at this point. I mean, we have a podcast named after one of their products, right? So.
I read a study that it's the more Apple products you have, or if you have Apple products, you're more attractive in the dating market. It's like a poll. So it's working. Whatever they're doing is working.
Yeah. The AirPods just look so good in the ears. You know, like it just kind of completes the whole look. Like you look really great right now, Kenny.
I appreciate it. Ladies, if you agree, slide in the DMs, let me know. I need a plus one for Joe's wedding. I don't have a plus one. you will find out that you can't go probably like a month into dating, but hey, you can try.
Yeah, Dom, you got anything else? No pressure.
I think this is a little more casual, but people that maybe don't have social media or like are not present at all in social media, that's probably a red flag. You know, like to some people it's like noble, like, oh, he's, you know, just living life and living offline, but you gotta have like some sort of presence out there that we could stalk or make sure that you're not like, you know, like a psycho or something, right? You gotta have some, like, even if you're not like active on Instagram, like I'm not the most active, but you could find me out there, right? So yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. I would think they're like a serial killer or something if they don't have social media. Like, what are you running from? What are you hiding?
Yeah, I've watched too many episodes of Catfish to know that if you can't find someone on social media, it's not usually a good sign, right? The risk reward, it just isn't there, right? But yes, that's a good one.
And how do you know it's real? Like, I don't know if she takes it seriously until she posts my hand and a story, an arm, an elbow. Yeah. Like, how am I going to gauge your interest in me if you don't have social media?
I want to rewind 9 years and get soft launched. You know what I mean? The new trend of people not posting pictures of their partners until it's like official.
Yeah.
What do you think, that's 9 years ago people were doing that or what?
No. I mean, that's when me and Denise started dating, but yeah, anyway. But yeah, I guess this was fun. Any other comments about this?
Thanks for having me on. Long time fan, first time participant. I love it. Shout out to Junk Drawer. They're the lone pause. We're strong out here.
This will be your next poll. What should our listeners be called? But yes, remember, we still have the goal. If we get 1,000 listens a week, we're going to Coachella. But last week we came up over 900 short. So we got a long way to go. But
we're getting these numbers up, baby. We're getting these numbers up.
But, process.
Hey, Kenny, I forgot to ask you at the top, but anything you want to plug? Anything like that?
Absolutely. If you get in trouble, criminal trouble in the state of Arizona, call me, DM me, whatever it takes. I will help you out for a small fee.
Reach out to this man unless you have an Android. Right?
So I do have something to plug. My brother wrote a book. It is a bestseller, apparently, according to him. His name
according
is
to Amazon. According to Amazon.
According to Amazon, yes. Dang, he's gonna kill me. I can't remember the name of it. But his name is Darren D. Ward. I'll plug it by the time we get to the very end of the pod. So anyone else?
I think I got it. The practical agency.
Agency, exactly. Yeah, I think it's $1 on Amazon. Free if you have a Kindle. Leave a review, even if you didn't read it. Leave a review. Much appreciated. You're contributing to the Ward household.
There you go. Shout out, Darren. Awesome book. I started reading it. It's very long, but I will keep working at it. But really excited to. I'm gonna have an Amazon bestseller at the wedding. But Dom, before we go, I got one more question for you. At my bachelor party, you left two pieces of clothing behind. If you can name both of them, you can have them back.
I know one for sure. I think I know one.
Okay.
It's my Clutch Sports long sleeve.
Yep.
That's one. And I have no idea what the second one is.
Well, I'm keeping your Clutch Sports long sleeve, and I'm keeping your Lululemon headband.
Oh.
Anyway.
That's where that is. I'm looking for that.
Yeah. But
Peloton today without it.
And then did you wear like Zara dress shoes, or is it somebody else's?
That is not me.
Okay.
Yeah. Won't catch me wearing Zara dress shoes. Just kidding.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. Warriors are down 78-70 going into the fourth quarter. So we got to get to that. But appreciate y'all coming on. Kenny, thank you. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Later. Peace, guys.